Friday was not a good day for the church or for us. The vote to amend the marriage canon to allow same-sex marriages across the country in our churches failed by just one vote. It reminds me of the title of a children's book entitled Alexander's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, because that's what it was. And so I'm wondering this morning how you are feeling. What kinds of feelings do you bring to church this morning? Anybody? Pam. Did you hear that? Yeah. So while there's anger, there's also hope, and there's confidence and trust. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Disappointed. I felt devastation. I felt a kind of fatigue. How much longer do we need to fight? Anybody else? Well, I'll also share with you something that I'm not so proud of, but I felt these tiny little rumblings inside myself of hate. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. It might be hard for us with these feelings to really hear the gospel message this morning. Jesus tells the story of the Samaritan man in response to a question posed by an uppity lawyer. Now, I like uppity lawyers, having been an uppity lawyer myself for 25 years. I love what uppity, justice-minded lawyers do during their working hours. They parse words and phrases in an attempt to draw the circle of justice wider and wider and wider still. Recent events and today's gospel remind me of a famous legal case decided about 100 years ago. Some uppity Canadian lawyers with a bunch of uppity women and men cheering them on in the background successfully argued that the word persons in the British North America Act, our founding constitutional document, actually included women. Women, of all things. And therefore, women could sit as senators in the Canadian Senate. The circle of entitlement was drawn wider so that half of this country's population could be accorded the same rights as the other half of the country's population. Now, when this happened, some rejoiced. But some were scandalized. But I think you will agree with me that the real scandal is that it took millennia for women to catch up with men in terms of basic human rights, the right to vote, the right to hold public office. That's what the scandal is. The question in today's gospel is much the same. The uppity lawyer asks Jesus, "Well, then, who is my neighbor?" Now, St. Luke says that he does this to test Jesus, but I don't understand that as meaning the lawyer is antagonistic to Jesus. I believe the lawyer is sincerely asking a question so that he can live out his life of faith, so that he can actually obey God's law. Well, Jesus turns the question back on him and asks him, "What does the law say?" And we know the answer to that. The law is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, that could be everyone. That could be infinite. We might have to love everyone across the globe. And the lawyer wants to get it right, so he wants some clarity, some definition. Jesus answers him by telling the story of the Samaritan rescuer. And it's an answer that is very complex and multi-layered. We hear the story and we identify at times, if we're honest, with the priest and the Levite who just walk on by. And we feel some guilt because we know we have done that at times. And we also identify with the Samaritan man who actually puts aside his agenda. I'm sure he had lots of important things to do, just as the priest and the Levite did. But he shows compassion and mercy, and he takes some time to be this wounded man's neighbor. But there's a person in the story that I don't identify with, and perhaps you don't identify with. I've never heard a sermon focused on this person. There's one more person in the story. What about the person in the ditch? What about the person who, going about his regular business, traveling a road he's traveled so many times before, from Jerusalem to Jericho, falls into the hands of evil men who abuse him and rob him? This person has been demeaned. This person has been robbed of his humanity and his dignity by those who wrongly exercise power. Well, I can tell you that I don't want to be the person in the ditch. That's why I don't identify with this person when I hear the story. I would rather be the strong, noble person who takes a year off law school and goes to the original L'Arche community in France to serve, as Jean Vanier would call them, the poorest of the poor. I would rather be that person than be the resident of a L'Arche community living with a handicap. I would rather be the person who walks downstairs and sits at a table, at our common table, and lovingly tends the wounds, the spiritual, emotional, material wounds of our guests, than be the guest who has to live on the street, sleep in a crowded shelter, or get a park bench. I would rather be the person who does good deeds and has power and walks by the person in the ditch or helps the person in the ditch. Now, the worst part of being the person in the ditch is finding yourself suddenly helpless, but having this hand come down towards you, having big, strong arms pick you up, and looking up into the face and realizing that this person is a Samaritan, code word for enemy. It's bad enough to be rescued by a person from your own tribe. You want to be rescued by a person of your own tribe. You do not want to look up in that state and see the face of your rescuer and not know them. Now, this very thing happened to me. I was walking the Camino from Porto to Santiago last autumn, as you know. And I don't have Camino feet. I have Cinderella feet. Size 4, terribly delicate and tender. And people say to me, don't walk the Camino, you're not built for it. I do it anyway. This time I was determined to look after my feet properly, but despite that, I did get blisters. I was walking on cobblestones, which are terrible for your feet because your feet are always moving around in your shoes or your boots. After about 4 or 5 days, I had a couple blisters on both feet. And then one day, a blister broke inside my sock and my shoe, and I had no idea, so I kept walking. After a few kilometers, your feet actually get a bit anesthetized. When I pulled off my sock that day, I tore off the skin so badly that I had a deep, deep wound. Now, I was walking with 3 lovely women from North Carolina, one of whom was a nurse. So the next day, as they saw me hobbling along, they all insisted that before we go for dinner, they take me to the pharmacy and get my feet looked at. So there I was, sitting in this crowded pharmacy on a chair, taking off my sock and my shoe, with my 3 American friends standing there, and the pharmacist kneeling, examining this terrible deep wound. And she said, it's going to take days to heal, and you shouldn't walk on your feet. Now, if that's all there was, I wouldn't be telling you this story. But that's not all there was. The next day, we were toiling up a mountainside, and I was with one of these women. And I felt so connected to her. I really liked her. And we started solving all the problems of the world. We were talking politics. And so in my openness, I said something about that Trump pig. And she said, I voted for him, you know. I said, really? No, you didn't. Yes, I did, she said. And all of us voted for him, meaning her threesome from North Carolina. I felt like Alice, who had just fallen through the rabbit hole. I said, why? Well, she said, I couldn't vote for Hillary. We couldn't vote for Hillary. That was the only reasonable, rational choice. So I was trying to salvage the conversation, and I said, well, you're sorry now, aren't you? No, she said. We like what he's doing. And then there was a terrible moment, of which I am ashamed, when the truth just blurted out, and I said, well, then I don't want to walk with you. I don't want to walk with you. I don't agree with you. And your views are heinous and distasteful. Your opinions are odious. They are anathema to me. How can I even be in your presence, let alone walk the rest of the way to this important cathedral? I don't know you. I don't want to know you. I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you. That's pretty bad. And while it didn't occur to me in my moment of shock, I knew that I was spewing my own bigotry, my own lack of love. And I had a hard time for the next few days wanting to be or being in the company of these three Trump supporters who weren't one bit sorry, who liked what President Trump is doing. They were not my neighbors for a couple of days. They were them, and I was us. And I realized as I walked along that I pay wonderful lip service to the idea of loving those who voted for Donald Trump or Doug Ford, but that my heart rebels. My heart reveals something dark. It's awfully hard to accept that God loves Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un as much as God loves us. And I get it with my head. I've read the scriptures. I've listened to lots of sermons, but my heart rebels. It's hard to believe that they are my neighbors, and it's difficult to love them. I don't want to walk with you. It's one of the truest things I've ever said, and one of the most painful and shameful and revelatory. Now, you may have noticed that I didn't call this story the parable of the Good Samaritan, because this is not a simple morality tale about good guys and bad guys. No, this is a scandal. It's a scandalous piece of bad news for us, enveloped in the good news of God's unconditional love for each member of the human family. For those of us who are loving and for those of us who are not. For those of us who behave justly and those of us who may not. It's a scandalous drawing of the circle ever wider and wider to include all those we do not wish to walk with, those with whom we passionately disagree, those who hurt us or exclude us or hurt and exclude those whom we love. It's a scandalous moment in which that vulnerable person in the ditch, and we may all be in the ditch today in varying degrees, has to look up and be picked up and rescued by the enemy, by someone with whom we do not agree. This gospel is difficult. It's difficult to hear for me and for you, but I want to place it in context. I want to place this impossible command into the context of our core gospel story. Because there was another Friday in our story when it appeared that evil and bigotry and hate had triumphed. And then just a few days later, early on that Sunday morning, a group of faithful and brave women went to that tomb of death, and they found it empty, and they found that their friend was alive, and they learned that God's love and justice had in fact triumphed. And so on this Sunday, when we are struggling and being in this ditch, when we struggle with the commandment to love those who have just hurt us, who have just denied us our humanity and dignity, we must remember the lesson of Easter. That lesson gives us hope for tomorrow. You know, the saints before us struggled with this, I think, just as we do, the law of love of neighbor. On one occasion, when St. Augustine was wrestling with his own inadequacies and his own disobedience to the law, he prayed this: Lord, command what you will, and give what you command. And that's my prayer for us today, that even as we continue the struggle towards justice, to draw the circle ever wider, as we struggle to recover from the assault and battery and the robbery we have just experienced at General Synod, that God will give us the grace to love all of our neighbors, especially those with whom we disagree, so that we may lift ourselves and each other from this ditch in which we find ourselves today, that we can get back up onto the road to continue our journey and do it together. Amen.